Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the status of the Indianola Wastewater Project? Let's go in-depth with Ryan Waller, City Manager.
Ryan, Indianola is facing a challenge that all cities hit periodically. It's time for a new wastewater treatment plant, correct?
That's correct. It's a process that the city's been studying since at least 2014, so about 6 years. We do operate under a permit from the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources. We have been told by the DNR that we need a new facility. Our facilities dates back to the 70s. It has been used beyond its useful life. It was constructed to handle a population of about 11,000 residents. Indianola is larger than that now. That and the DNR and the EPA are rolling out a new regulations, nutrient reduction strategy that all large facilities are going to have to meet when treating wastewater.
Where do we currently stand with respect to the new plant? Where are we at right now?
The city has recently opened bids. So last week, that would have been January 16th, is when bids were due and opened. We received two bids, $45 million, $46 million respectively. That's about 18% above the engineer's estimate. We know that the estimate, the reason for the overage is really tied to the shortage of a workforce. Both companies would have to bring in labor from out of state, one's from Minnesota, one's from Illinois. And the other thing that's impacting the cost has been some of the international affairs. Tariffs with China has been a big thing in the news. That's had an impact. So right now we are evaluating the bids. City Council's scheduled to consider awarding a contract on February 4th.
Am I remembering right that the difference between the expectation and the actual bid was several million dollars, $7 million, something like that?
$7.2 million is the difference.
Okay, that you're going to have to make up because of tariffs and labor shortage.
That's correct.
Okay, so what are some options with that? How is that going to be paid for from the first, and then what has to happen now to pick up that extra $7+ million?
Great question. So the city, for any large-scale projects like this, there's a borrowing component, so we have to finance the project. We are going to be pursuing a loan through a state program, state revolving fund, so we're able to borrow at a much cheaper rate for a large project such as this. So that's how it's going to be financed. The overage will be wrapped into the borrowing amount. And then as part of that, we have to make ongoing debt payments. So there's two components to that. The first is user rates. As a utility, we are funded by user rates. The city last raised its rates in 2013, so it's been about 7 years since there's been a rate adjustment to our sewer charges. Those rates go to fund the operation and maintenance of the facility and the pipes in the ground that transport the sewage. Another component, in 2016, the city passed a local option sales tax. The commitment was that 100% of those funds are going to go towards supporting the wastewater treatment plant. So that is a big component of how we'll make our debt service payments, our mortgage payments, if you will. Now, to give you an idea of what that means, without the local option sales tax, the user rates would have to be increased by $30.40 to cover the cost of the borrowing and the overage of the bids.
For an average house in Indianola?
Correct. Average household usage, about 4,000 gallons.
Okay.
Because of the local option sales tax, our projected rate adjustment for the next fiscal year is just $12.40. So over the last 7 years, if you average that out, it's about a $2 a year increase over the last seven years for an average household.
So kudos to the past city council, city administrator, mayor, for putting that in place so that damage isn't quite so severe.
Correct.
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Ryan Waller, city manager of Indianola, regarding the status of the Indianola wastewater project.
We've heard some questions about, well, the bids came over, what can you do to take things out from the plant? How do you bring down the cost? And the reality is, the plant itself is a custom innovative design. It's using technology that hasn't been deployed in the state before. The DNR has been very supportive of it. They're actually want to use this as a pilot program or a model of what the future of wastewater treatment plants can and should be. And the reason for that is through this custom design, we're able to reduce our cost by about $12 million off of a typical wastewater treatment plant. We are not incorporating expensive parts, anything that's luxury items. These are basic components that are needed to transport and treat the wastewater. So there's no room to strip anything out. Everything is pumps and pipes. We do have buildings to make sure that controls are protected and that we have the respective workspace for the folks that are operating the plant and able to monitor the flows that come into the plant. But in terms of anything above and beyond what's required, there's nothing in there. But through this design, we're able to reduce our cost by about $12 million.
Okay, so because of this innovative design, let me make sure I'm hearing this right, it's going to be cheaper and better. Is that right? Did I hear that?
That's correct.
Well, so that's good. Cheaper and better and a model for other communities.
That's correct.
Okay, so when we talk about the rates, the increase per month for their average home, how does that compare to other communities in the area?
That's a great question. So the City of Ames puts out a survey that has the rates of the communities throughout the state, 10,000 and above. And the city right now is kind of middle of the pack with our rates. With the rate adjustment of the $12.40 that our financial advisor is projecting, we'll be in the upper portion of that rate structure, but we're still going to be less than many of our metro peers. Norwalk is probably our closest example. Right now, their rates are about $55 for an average household. Our rates right now are about $35 for an average household. They are projected to go up 4% the next 2 years and then 3% the 2 years after that. Our rate adjustment is about $12.40. So even after our adjustment and their adjustment, we're still going to be probably about $8 to $10 less than Norwalk. Now, coming back to something I said earlier about the nutrient reduction strategy, these are costly regulations that the state is mandating newer plants, all large plants will have to have, which means that the sewage that's being treated is going to have to be treated to a much more strict level. Norwalk, as an example, belongs to the WRA based out of Des Moines. That facility has not yet gone through these upgrades that we're going to be doing. So there's going to be a time, even though we're going to be in the upper echelon of the cost structure, we're still less than many. But when those other plants go through those upgrades, they're going to leapfrog us significantly.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation with Ryan Waller, city manager of Indianola, regarding the status of the Indianola wastewater project.
Okay, well, it would seem that tying into the Des Moines metro system, the WRA, Is that an option? And it sounds like if it is an option, there's going to be increased costs in the future if you go that route.
Great question. So we were asked that question about connecting to the WRA, and that actually was part of the process the city looked at in 2014. At that time, due to the cost structure, it was identified as something that was cost prohibitive. We recently, back in 2018, as part of our approval process that we went through with the county, were asked to update those numbers. And when we updated those numbers, the 30-year difference of cost of building our own facility or connecting to the WRA was around $64 million. With the WRA, there's a membership fee that would have to provide. There's a upfront cost, it's probably about $21 million, where you have to buy back the debt as part of the overall system. You have to pay back, you have to pay for the actual piping to get it to the facility, and us being about 20 miles away, that's about $20 million as well. And then the WRA, as a utility, is planning for maintenance of the infrastructure, which is something that we do here as well. But they establish the rates that the members have to pay and pass on to the rate payers, our customers. Not only that, we then have to add on our own cost for maintaining our local system here onto those costs. When you look at that, again, $64 million difference over 30 years, that's a significant chunk for our ratepayers. So that was deemed to be cost prohibitive.
Well, it's interesting in that, you know, we need to think of the big picture too, that this is going to be better for the environment, better for our kids, grandkids, et cetera. It's something that the DNR has determined that we need to do. And so sometimes it's hard to think about that in terms of a bill increasing, you know, every month. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that significant. It's like a cost of a pizza, right?
Correct. And if you look at over a year, we're talking $148 extra a year for this vital service that we don't have the option of doing anything else. All the other options are much more expensive.
And so how's the community reacted? They recognize the logic of it. They recognize how it's all coming together in the best interest of the community and people who live here.
The folks that I've talked to understand it. Obviously, nobody's excited about change or having to pay more for services. Those that I've talked to that have asked questions about it when we sat down, much like you and I are sitting down and talking through the details of it, they understand it. They appreciate it. They also recognize that the longer we wait, the more it becomes expensive. Obviously, an outdated plant becomes more costly to run. So there's going to be cost adjustments that would be needed if we did nothing. We would likely face some sort of mandate from the DNR if we chose not to do something, to do something. So we would be told to do it. We've effectively been told we need a new plant, and we've been working towards it, and the DNR appreciates that. And the other thing, too, that when you talk about big picture, what this plant allows us to do, one of the goals of the community is to grow. We went through a comprehensive master plan questionnaire with our community, a lot of data from the community on that. Economic development and housing growth was a big thing. This plan allows us to do that. And when we add houses onto a sewer system, that's better for all the existing ratepayers because that helps us keep our costs lower. More people are buying into a system than not. And that helps us spread out the cost of treatment across that larger system.
So you've already planned for future growth. Just fit right in there with the plan for the future for the city. You're anticipating it.
Correct. So the plant that we have now, given the innovative design, will allow us to handle the growth that's happening now. We've got several subdivisions that have been approved. We've got a 61-lot subdivision that has started to break ground over by the YMCA in the northeast part of town. And if we have growth in our industrial area or see more explosive home growth, the facility itself can be expanded in a very cheap yet efficient manner. Again, being cognizant of the burden on our ratepayers. So it's a very fiscally responsible model and plan, and we have a long-term strategy that continues that through.
Anything else you'd like to share that I didn't know enough to ask?
We really do our best, and we try to share as much information as possible. And we are always putting information on our Facebook, our Twitter feeds. We have a fact sheet and a press release on our website now, talking about the history of the wastewater treatment plant. We're going to be giving an update to the City Council at the February 4th meeting. This is a process that's ongoing. We continue to have these things during open meetings. They're open to the public. We just ask people, if you have questions, call, refer to one of our resources, come in and stop and talk to us. Everything's out there, all the information's there, and just be informed.
Thanks to Ryan Waller for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.